Chris on Welcome to Tales of Wales, the pod that never fails to look back at the years gone by, and in particular, the year of 2024, a year that saw the downfall of many a fine Welshman, Hugh Edwards, Wyn Evans, to name just a few. But it also saw the rise of two new Welsh entertainers, your loyal and yet-to-be-cancelled hosts, Franks and Jack, were replacing them.
Very good. Very good.
Groper, Groper, Groper.
Groper, Groper.
I don't know if we should...
The amount of times we were doing that when that news was on.
Groper, 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 Groper. And people don't know what to say, we're saying Groper.
Yeah. For people who don't understand the accent, we're saying Groper, as in someone who gropes.
Yeah, he's Groper, Groper. Anyway, moving on from that, shall we do a Patreon shout-out before we get rambling? Ramble.
Oh, yes.
No, I did that.
Yes, we'll do a Patreon show.
Lovely.
ramble. We'll do a little ramble.
Who's that guy? Lovely. Oh, fuck's sake. It's a guy who's just been cancelled. Greg Wallace.
Another one.
Groper Wallace himself. Lovely.
Jesus. Another fucking Groper.
Groper.
Yeah, bloody. Although he used verbal Groper.
Yeah, but I also read that he was also a physical Groper.
Does a bunch of middle class women.
Mental thing to say. It's like
I said this to Amy. Like, as you don't have to be someone who works in PR, right? Yeah. But as someone who was, I can imagine his agent being onto him and being like, "What the fuck are you playing at?
Because people,
what are you doing?
The way he tried to make
it
like a classist thing against him, like he was the victim. Like, oh, it's a bunch of middle class people going after him. It's like, fuck off,
little fucking working class boy himself on MasterChef.
I think he is like, he's from like, he used to be like, I think he got arrested for being a Millwall fan. I think he is like a bit of a working class lad.
Used to, mate. No one who's MasterChef. Yeah, listen, mate. You don't hear me. I said group it. Yeah, right.
I don't think you, do you want me to come over there and group it? Groper, it's so fun to shout.
We're just gonna do that all
can
this
we get our next
right
merchandise just to be Groper instead of
Groper? Groper, how would you spell it? I don't know. Anyway, right, sorry, on to the Patreon shout outs. Next in line is James Williams,
Jimbo,
James Williams. Williams,
who is not a groupie, Jimbo.
Yeah, I would well
no group.
Don't know you well enough, but I'm gonna guess that you're not a groupie.
Jimbo Groper is
Jimbo Williams. Yeah. Jimbo Groper Williams. I don't know.
What's William?
You know all the nicknames we've given people.
James Williams.
What's that?
So Williams is Dick. Oh, that's Richard, isn't it? Dick is short for Richard.
That's Rich.
Willie.
Yeah. William.
James Williams. Jumbo Willie.
James Wilhelm. I don't know.
Well, James will change to Jimbo. Will will change to Williams.
Jimbo.
Jimbo. Jimbo Willie.
Willie. Yeah. That's easy.
Steamboat Willie.
Jimbo Willie.
Steamboat Jimbo Willie.
Oh, Jumbo Willie.
Jumbo, right?
Jimbo Willie, the Jumbo Willie. Yeah.
James Williams, Jumbo Willie.
That's the sort of treatment you get when you sign up to the Patreon.
It's
you're
hard
called
to
Jumbo
riff
Willie,
on just two words, isn't it? It is quite hard. Unless you get given something perfect.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. Like, we have, like, fucking...
Sometimes they write themselves, don't
Jana
they?
Banana. I mean, you can't get better than Jana Banana. When you get given things like that, OAJ. What are some other ones we've had in the past that just come to... Oh, Lewis Claus, the old Santa Claus himself.
Recently, I was just saying, Lewis Claus, we were saying Santa Claus, and then we were going, oh, Kitty got claws.
Kitty got claws.
That's
easy. So actually, James, this is on you. Okay, it's about time you had a...
Listen here, Jumbo Willie. You can just sort it out. Pull your finger out, Jumbo Willie.
That's a problem with old Jumbo Willie. He knows he's got an old Jumbo Willie just helicoptering around.
He thinks he's too big for his bonces, doesn't he?
Too big for his boots, too big for his pants, his big old Jumbo Willie.
Or as I just said then, too big for his bonces, which is definitely the way I wanted to say it.
Group it.
Right, okay. Cheers, James. Much appreciated.
Like he's in the pub with us now as we walk him out.
Yeah.
All right, mate. See you later. We've had our catch up.
If he was in the pub with us, I'd be like, right, cheers now. You can leave now. You don't need to be here anymore.
Right, cheers, mate.
We've done it now.
Also, just realised that we did the last episode, Harlech Castle, and that won't come out until like the middle of Jan. So, So just as a pre-warning, the episode we just recorded isn't going to come out for a while. So when that comes out, just remember. Actually, you don't need to worry about that. I wish I had that Men in Black thing. Just like delete your brain when from thinking that. I mean, it can edit.
Done. Yeah.
The old Greg Wallace wishes he had the old.
I just go, hey everyone, I'm going live again. If you just look at this little bit. And then just going, yeah, I was not a grouper, I was always a very great chef. Yeah.
All right. So what are we doing this episode?
Well, I don't know how long we've been in because we're doing a doubler. Do you want to chat with me anymore?
Sorry, is that it? Let's have a little chin
friendship work. On Scrappy.
Let's have a little chin with groupie.
Well, I was going to talk about, I've just come back from Bath.
It'll never happen in my kingdom again.
I thought you were going to do a Hermione on me then.
Oh, I am.
I've just come back from Bath. It's Bath, not Bath.
Leviosa. I'm a Potterhead, aren't I?
But guess your Potterhead these days, mate. Yeah, for those who don't know, Franks has been behind the cultural curve as Harry Potter.
I've not seen any
for a long time.
No Avengers or.
A long time.
Star Wars, Avengers, Grimple Gronk, Shrinkle-Stonk, all that shit just gone past me.
You had Lord of the Rings in your back pocket for ages. You've been right with that. You were right on the money.
I only like historical things like Lord of the Rings. I like swords like
Lord of the
and
Rings,
spears.
Lots of history.
Right?
The old swords and sandals genre.
Yeah. I actually don't like sandals. But yeah, I don't really like the sandal aesthetic.
Keep the swords, drop the sandals.
I love, like, just the grime and, like, the British Isles, like, Vikings and the Brits, like, that aesthetic stunning, like, just, like, cold and miserable and rainy. Sandals will get you fucked here, man.
What's more British than bloody Harry Potter, mate?
Yeah, but it's the ink getting stabbed.
Which is probably why you turned on to it.
Yeah, I actually do really enjoy it. It's great. I love it.
What one are you on now?
I did episode 5 last week, and I've got, which was the...
5. What's that? Is that Goblet of Fire?
I think it's the one where he goes, I killed Sirius Black.
My boy.
I don't know. He goes, I...
Oh, no. I know which one you're on about. Sorry. You're on about Order of the Phoenix.
Yeah, maybe.
I killed Sirius Black.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it,
the
man.
The best bit in that is when Bellatrix Lestrange...
Is she the mean headmaster?
A.K.A. Helena Bonham Carter.
Oh.
No, yeah. She's the one who goes, I killed Sirius Black. Yeah. Where she goes... She comes in and she talked to what's his name, the fucking was the loser one.
Harry Potter's
name. I don't know
name.
His name. Is fucking
oh, I know.
Fat ass.
No,
who's that guy?
He looks like. cut that name.
He's the one Neville, in the first one. He goes Neville Longbottom, Southall is brilliant.
Well, he's a football player.
Neville Longbottom.
Neville
and
Jimbo.
She's talking to Neville Longbottom. She goes, who's this? And she goes, itty bitty, bye bye.
I don't.
And she does like, she does this thing
that,
with
that,
her.
That's
her
the wrong episode because I haven't seen that bit.
It's where Sirius Black dies. It's the same one.
What?
And she goes, itty bitty, baby. And she does this thing with her hands and it looks like she's. Like, as if she's got imaginary suspenders and she's, like, flicking them up.
Oh, hot. Let's not do it, because I don't trust you not to spoil it.
Oh, it is. It's the one where...
I don't care. I don't trust you not to spoil it. We're stopping this conversation.
Sirius Black.
Now.
He dies.
Now. Stop.
And
now.
She says, I killed Sirius Black.
We are moving on.
Fine.
you are loose-lipped... Pig.
Fucking 10-year-old franchise spoilers, the bloody cheek.
It's older than 10 years, man. It's like 20 years old. It's so old.
Yeah, probably God, is. They're remaking it,
no,
aren't they?
Don't spoilers.
They're redoing it on, Thingy Max.
Spoilers!
Anyway, sorry, I'll get back to Bath, right? So, Bath, did you know the Romans, as they called it, Aquae Sulis? It was very interesting.
Yeah, it is great.
I'm not a big Roman historian guy. I'm more of a Celt kind of guy.
Yeah, exactly. But, we're more swords. We don't like sandals. The Romans fucked loving
exactly. No sandals. Fuck the sandals off. Keep the swords. So, but it was interesting. Went there and we were like walking on this balcony, and the balcony was made in like the 1800s. But like they obviously tried to do it to make it look like in keeping with the aesthetic and everything. So the only real thing that's left of the Romans is like the foundations and like the little bits that are underground. Well,
did you do the tour? Did you go underground?
Yeah, we did the whole thing. Did everything. It was class, it was really good.
I really like it.
It looks amazing, but then like there's so much that they talk about. Like when you're on this balcony, right? The old actual Roman thing was way taller. It had like this huge arch going over it, and like it was all covered because they needed to keep the sun off the baths to stop the growth of algae and things like this. Yeah. And you just think, fuck, that would have been such a huge structure for like fucking 2,000 years ago.
But it is like a lost civilization, like with Egyptian stuff. When the Anglo-Saxons kind of found this stuff, they found like the Roman aqueducts. Like they still fucking, they worked amazing. Like so much better than anything they'd been built in Britain for ages. They knew how gravity worked. They could get water to go from one area to another area. And similarly to how we do it now.
Mm.
Like they're crazy clever.
It was really interesting. Oh yeah, mate, some of this like sort of engineering you saw in it, like I know it sounds like you look at it and go, it looks basic in terms of like the materials and stuff they use, but like for back then, it's to think that they could do all this stuff.
Well, they built bricks. They had a really simple way of making bricks, and when they left and all that knowledge left, like Britain went back in time fucking loads. Like we'd lost all that knowledge, and then it wasn't until they rediscovered that stuff. Like when they rediscovered the baths and stuff, they knew how to, like you said, don't let the sun get the algae in there. They knew how to heat things up. They knew how to like work stuff. And then when they left, because we didn't write anything down, all that stuff, a lot of that knowledge left. And they do just, when they discovered it again then in like the Anglo-Saxon times, they're like, who the fuck were these geniuses?
I was really surprised and like pleasantly surprised as well to see that Bass actually, they didn't do a lot of like Celtic history, but they did touch on it sort of thing. I know it's like the whole thing is the Roman baths, but like for example, one thing is they showed this like this little display with like coins, and they were like from hundreds of years before the Romans came.
Yeah.
So they're from the Dubuni tribe, which were the local tribe in the area at the time. And the Celts also revered the hot springs as like a sacred place, because I know we talked about it a million times on this pod, but
water
was very spiritual to the Celts. Imagine like the hard on they'd have for like the only hot spring in Britain. Do you know what I mean?
Is that
like,
what it is?
That was just like, it would be, it's literally the only hot spring in Britain. So it's naturally, it comes out at 46 degrees, which is like fucking scalding hot. But the Romans, again, clever bastards, the way they like they divert it from the hot spring to their baths, it cools it on the way.
Oh yeah.
And so it's like it's warm but not piping hot, it's gonna burn you type of thing. It was really, really interesting. And then the whole thing actually, so they built it, and they built a temple right next to it, which is no longer there, but and it was for a Romano British goddess called Sulis Minerva. I think that's actually a combination of two gods. It's this Celtic god Sulis and a Roman god Minerva. And before that, even if you're going to believe Geoffrey of Monmouth, who's a guy who gets a lot of name shouts on this pod, the hot spring was found by a Celtic king called Blaevid, who built the first sacred bath there after him and his herd of pigs were cured from leprosy when they wallowed in the wet mud around the spring. So that's why Welsh's angle.
If you do have like
ham-fisted into the baths.
If you do have like diseases, and then you have hot baths, hot water that kills off germs, it probably could do like a lot of stuff. I know there was like hot springs in Llandrindod Wells, but I don't know if they're like kind of man-made. And I think it was discovered like the Victorians made Llandrindod Wells a spa town.
But I think it's the only hot springs. Well, listen, I'm only going off what I read.
I think you're right. It's because I know, like, there's not many spa towns, especially in Wales, but it's just, imagine how nice that would be to have a hot bath when you're in there.
I think what was unique about this is, like, you just stumble upon, oh, look, there's some bodily bubbling water almost, and you go and touch and go, fucking hell, it's warm.
Yeah.
You know, like, what are the chances of that? And it's just, and not just warm, but hot as well. And it's the only natural one in Britain type thing. So
I
can imagine like that being a very
The Romans thing. Built loads of their own hot baths. Which would just like they.
Oh yeah, there's one in Caerleon, isn't there?
Yeah, and like imagine how if you were like a Celt and you get to come in and see the Romans. You know, the Celt is incredibly hard outdoor life, and then you see some big Roman general having a lovely bath. You're like, fucking hell, these guys got.
I think you mean some soft bloody pansy, didn't you? Fucking living the high life.
Yeah. No, I agree. We don't mean you are massive Roman like historian fans, are we? I just think they look.
No,
like
it did make me think as well. I you know, as a mythology boy, I haven't read anything about Roman mythology. I know a lot of it is very similar to Greek, And the thing is with Romans is they were something that I actually think is a respectable quality about them is they used to think that the gods of the land were the ones you should pray to. So there's like evidence of Roman troops in Britain praying to Celtic gods because they thought, well, my gods are back in Rome.
Oh yeah.
I need to pray to Rhiannon. I need to pray to Amaethon and stuff like that.
I think in Muslim and Christian religion, that you're kind of meant to respect the religion of the area you're in. And obviously, I don't think modern day people practice that, but I'm pretty sure that's part of the tenets both of those religions. Is you're meant to respect the laws and the religion of the area you're in.
Yeah, like I get that, but also I thought it was unique. I don't know if it's the same in I don't know enough about Christianity. Yeah,
we're not godos, are we? We're not
religion. No, but I know Romans would pray to gods of another land, if you like,
because
they thought they were the ones that
who were there.
I thought that was something, you know, to be like, oh, I believe in my gods, but also, you know, let's pray to the Welsh gods or the Celtic gods at the time.
But I mean, that makes sense if you think of them as being physical beings, or like, you know, physical celestial beings. You think, well, my god isn't here, so yeah, if you were here you could do Adon. Who was he the king of?
Anon, which is like, you know, the name for the Celtic otherworld.
Yeah, we should probably, I don't know, I'm just not massively into religion. I just even though, like, and I always get like,
you know what, I love like pagan religion, like mythology, you know, where it's like gods and a pantheon and things like that. But when it gets to like what's the word? Is it? Is it like theism?
Yeah.
Where it's like
theological
sort of thing.
What is the word for that?
But that gets boring.
Yeah,
that gets
I like the idea of exploring more pagan stuff because it's so connected to nature. And what was I thinking the other day about? Like, so do you know? So like, this is what I was thinking, and I read a little bit about when I had the thought. I thought I can't be the only one who ever thought this, but do you know, like, people used to die, like the average age was usually around like 28, because people used to die so young, and most people would die not of natural causes. Like for ages, you would die because you broke your leg and then that got infected. You'd die because you're malnourished. You'd die because you got killed. So little did like you live to old age. So,
well, I thought it was a thing of like back in medieval times, you know, if you lived past childhood, you'd live to like 60.
Sorry, I don't mean like, but I mean like really.
But the like the average
thing, I mean like,
oh, you mean like surviving
like, you know, 3,000, 4,000 years ago. I mean like like so long ago where
someone was really ages bad. Yeah, ages
like
ago. Got you.
Proper time ago. So when you like, before like, you know, medieval time, there was religion set up by then. But if you were to like, so you'd always die in these pretty bad situations, so people didn't realize that like you could just die naturally, so they always thought death was completely unnatural. They were like, in their mind, you live forever until you get killed by something. So whenever someone does die, so say if you were in a village, like you had a Celtic like tribe, not even Celtic, it's pre kind of like, you know, there's a
prehistory
kind of stuff. But they used to assume, this is all like kind of assumptions, but say if there's these certain tribes that still carried on these tenets whilst there was history being written. Say if me and you like went out in our village and we're having a few beers and then you died. Some communities would burn the entire village down and move to somewhere else because they thought your ghost will haunt that area. And they thought, well, like, but I think you think, oh, that sounds mental. But if you hadn't seen anyone live to old age and you think people just die and you only live in your world, you don't have the internet, you don't know anything other than what you're taught in that room. And say if the first time that happens, you died and then next week a massive storm came, you could easily see how you'd assume, hang on, he died last week and now this place is cursed. There's a massive storm coming.
Just like, say there was like, you know, you go into a forest as a hunting party, and then someone gets bitten by a bug, right? Ooh. Itches. So you itch it, you break open the wound again and again, and you get infected, right? And that happens once, twice, three times. That forest because it's got the bugs in it there. Becomes the forbidden forest. You know, don't go in there.
Mate, you've said that don't go so in there much better it's like... than how I was trying to explain it. That's exactly what I meant.
No, mate, I got you, mate.
Yeah, I know,
but you know, that becomes like the cursed forest thing. Don't go in there because people die if you go
my
in there.
My example was go for a session of village and then to die. But that's exactly what I mean.
Imagine we were before the castle, we went into the pub, right?
But
that's exactly
like that to me, like that. Well, why would you ever believe that village is that woods is cursed? And that seems a bit like, well, how could you believe that shit? But exactly what you just said then, and I do find that stuff really interesting.
Yeah, because you wouldn't be like, oh, he kept scratching his bite, it got infected. You go, someone went in there, they came out a week later, they were dead. You know, and it's like, and he was getting all ill, and he had this gross like pus thing on his arm. You know, that would just happen. Yeah. You get bitten by a demon. And then you start getting ill and you're dead.
And I was,
you know, that's not what they think.
I was trying to find like a good book on this. There's a famous one by Joseph Campbell, and who's like an American writer, and he explores one like the Masks of God, where he goes through like loads and loads and loads of different cultures, gods, and what their ideas of God, and all these fucking mental rituals, and it sounded really interesting, but because he wrote it like the 1960s, so much of it has been debunked, and like actually kind of maybe he's been a bit ignorant or some accidental racism in there and stuff. And I was like, okay, so Joseph Campbell, he's been debunked. Everyone I was trying to read, they've all been debunked. But I'm thinking people often forget that myths and things, they're not set in stone. They're kind of like they shift.
Well, they evolve, yeah, they evolve. I suppose, as they go. They're meant to move along with the culture, I guess.
So should we move on and start this episode in earnest?
Yes, we've had our opinions on prehistory there. Change the status quo, I'm sure. But yeah, so today's actual episode is meant to be about us looking back at 2024, specifically in Wales, about sort of major events and things like that happened. So this should come out, if I'm not mistaken, on the just before New Year's, shouldn't it?
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes. Yeah. Episode
should be coming out on the 29th.
Yes. Yeah, so the lead up to when you hear this episode, it will just be before Christmas Eve. New Year's Eve, and it's a throwback to, like we said in the episode that we pre-recorded last year. We did a bunch of Christmas episodes, which we really enjoyed. So we wanted to try and do something similar this time. So we got the last week's episode with Jacob Banos, and this is a year in review. That's the vibe we're going for anyway. But really it's just a catch up.
So we're just looking
at a stupid episode we got a few drinks to.
Yeah, an easy one for us basically to give you a glimpse behind the curtain. So we've sort of looked at past events, haven't we? And we're going to do them in order, I assume. Or, well, not in order, but me and you are going to do one by one.
Yeah.
Do you want to go first?
Well, I haven't got as many as you, so do you want to go first so you can dovetail?
All right, yeah, okay, so I'll do my first one here. Now, this is a bit of a cheat, actually, but I'm going to talk about the 20-mile-per-hour enforcement stuff that came into Wales. So that started in 2013, but I talk a bit about how it had a bit of resurgence in 2024. Yeah. 2013, sorry, 2023, I meant.
So fucking hell, that's a long hold.
Long time in the making. Yeah. Sorry, 2023, but I'm going to talk about the sort of the changes in 2024.
Yeah, well, start telling us.
Yes, so for those who don't know, our ex-first minister, Mark Drakeford, him and the Senate, they brought in a new way of classifying roads in September 2023. And basically, anywhere near a school or somewhere with lots of pedestrians, basically any built-up areas, they turned from what used to be a 30-mile-an-hour road to a 20-mile-an-hour road. There were a few that some people noticed that probably shouldn't have been reduced. So
the
like,
idea was it reduced the NHS crashes. So it would stop people being hurt, especially children, and it would relieve like 20,000 incidents in the NHS a year or something like that. It was like good intentions.
So I think we can all agree, a noble goal, certainly.
Maybe not the best executed.
Well, no, I'll get into that now. But so, for example, there's a road just up from me. It goes past a school, goes past like a busy high street type area. But the road itself is really long, and like half of it is in this built up area. The other half is basically amongst like woodland. But you find yourself going like 20 mile an hour on quite a wide road with nothing about. So like this little things like that where they've just blanketly canvas the road as like this new 20 mile an hour thing doesn't quite fit. And also there was a big issue at the time with like getting proper signage right, yeah. And like some roads still had like, oh, there's a 20 on the side
and it
with
was
a
like
sign,
political,
but like 30 on the road, you know.
It was like,
oh yeah, it was a political fucking foosball.
Yeah, like the like right wing politicians in England could go fucking if it, because Wales has a Labour government and England has a right wing government.
Yeah,
they
for,
were
yeah,
like
20 odd,
but the Tories and people in England could say, look how fucking bad it is. If you ever vote Labour, this is what they do to all your streets here in England. And make every-. And they kept saying it's a blanket 20 miles per hour policy, which the press
you
kept
can't,
saying.
You can't even go on a motorway.
Yeah, the press kept saying 20. It's not 20 miles per hour. And Rishi Sunak would always refuse to acknowledge that it wasn't a blanket 20. It was a 20 miles per hour in those circumstances. But I don't drive really, so like it didn't really affect me. But for those that did, lots of people hated it.
Oh, mate, I'll get into that now. But like I was just about to say, so the crux of the situation, for those who don't know, is what used to be a 30-mile-an-hour road was now getting bumped down to a 20-mile-an-hour road, okay? Because it statistically speaking, it saved lives. Or at least saved crashes, injuries, whatever. But like you said, fuck me, the amount of whiners that were about at that time, like the whole point is to reduce death on the roads, as I said. So fucking what if you had like 5 minutes extra to your journey? Yeah. And there was just so much palaver around it, wasn't there? Like there was people graffitiing the new 20 mile an hour signs with 30 on them, as if you're going to believe that it was 30 because it was like some red spray paint. And then there's like people ripping signs off lampposts. Some really cool people were buying like bumper stickers, you know, boycotting it and saying like, well, I won't be driving 20 and all that. It's like, great, well done you.
Also, you only got caught if you did like 24 miles per hour, or even I think it's like 25 miles per hour.
Well, it's only in a cameraed area, yeah. You know, like,
yeah, I
think essentially what it was is that it used to be 30 and lots of people would probably do 40 in those areas if it wasn't a camera, but now it's 20, they might do 30. So that's, you know, statistically that's going to help. But like, I was looking up the stuff, right? And I looked up, anti 20 mile an hour Wales merch.
Oh yes,
right. It's still apparently going strong. There's so many websites. It was on Etsy. People are selling
stuff.
Because they've
reversed the policy now, haven't they? Or they started to reverse the policy.
Well, it's. I'll go into this in a second, but it's like they've rejigged how it's classified and things like that. But basically, I was looking at this merch because, like I said, you'd be driving around, and you see like these, absolute warriors with like fucking, I don't agree with this 20 mile an hour speed limit, like on slapped on the back of their cars, and it's like,
so
fucking
catchy.
Get a life. But this one thing I did see that was quite good, points for creativity if nothing else. It was welcome to snails, and it was the Welsh flag, yeah. But the dragon was a snail.
It just blows my mind that like so many awful decisions are made by the government, especially at like higher level at like Westminster, about things that affect Wales, like the coal tips in Wales, that you know, like the ones that happened with the Aberfan disaster, and that could still happen now,
yeah.
With like that happened last week with the flooding.
Don't get me started on water costs, mate.
Yeah.
Water,
HS2, these things that have like, you know, massive repercussions in terms of money.
Yeah. And this is what is... Yeah, stealing the headlines, yeah. Like you say, and stealing everyone's fucking.
And I get
energy.
It. I get it. Like on the ground level, it makes you longer to get to work. That's fucking annoying. Yeah, but then I wish people had the same veracity and annoyance to the things that are like massively criminal and so unfair and like unjustified, like the fact we're not getting the right money for like England, Scotland, and Northern Ireland are getting, and we get shafted, and people just don't care. They're like, oh yeah, fine, but I'm going 10 miles per hour slower, and you're not, because you'll just ignore it anyway.
And also, I'm going 10 miles an hour slower. Just to save a couple of kids' lives? For fuck's sake.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I just think if someone asks you to go 10 miles an hour slower, and it's say, even if the only one kid was saved in the entirety of Wales for this, surely that's worth it.
In fact, your brother, your sister, or something.
Yeah.
But also, me and you don't really drive, so we are speaking from a slight, like, ivory tower of being, it doesn't massively affect us, so we're not that arse.
Am I 5 minutes late, right, from where I need to be, that's another song on YouTube Music. Thanks very much. I'm enjoying myself. But anyway, so, like I said, that's the crux of the situation here.
That's the crux of the issue.
That's the crux of the issue. some people at the time were even calling Mark Drakeford Mark Dickford.
Yeah.
Bet that stung. Bet that was a fucking real dagger. But overall, like I said, I just couldn't believe how much whinging was going on. And then I was getting annoyed at myself because of how much whinging I was doing about the whinging.
Yeah.
Because I kept going like, oh, it's fucking people just keep going on about it. But I kept doing it so often that I was becoming a whinger myself. So I hate them for like turning me into the thing I hate the most. But anyway, Mark Drakeford, he left as First Minister. In came Vaughan Gethin, who lasted, in political terms, about 5 minutes. Yeah. But in February of this year, 2024... he rolled back some of these changes. So what he did, what he changed, basically the local communities, they could put in appeals to certain roads, and then decide sort of in their smaller communities, should they be a 20 or should they be a 30 or whatever. So, but the irony of that is one of the major issues that these moaners had about it was like, oh, the cost of going out and changing every 30 sign to a 20 and repainting it and all that sort of stuff. The irony that doing this like revamp where certain roads were changed back then, that cost more money again. Everyone going back out and having to change from the 30 to the 20 to the 30 again.
Yeah.
Beggar's belief. Beggar's belief, I tell you.
Yeah, I don't know. I get why people really would not like it, but I do just think, like, I think Mark Drakeford's probably a pretty decent, you know, he was. I think at heart he was.
I don't mean corrupt. You liked
yeah.
him.
Yeah, and I'm not mean a Labour supporter by any means. But I was going to say, for one of the things we're going to do later on, I'm on the Wales Online, right? And there's a story about like dismal Christmas trees. And the top comment was, anybody seen a Christmas message from Drakeford? No. Why? Because he's managed to ruin it for everyone. And then someone else said, the Mark Drakeford of Christmas trees. It's like, oh, these fucking dweebs. It's like,
I get onto something similar in a second now, which like, is I get, to do with this. It's like,
I get that we don't always agree politically on things with everyone. But it just seems that when I see dweebs who are really like anti stuff like this, their humour is just so boomer and shit. It's just such fucking garbage boomer band. Like, it's like
I said, you'll look forward. I got maybe three paragraphs before I get onto that again. So you're in for a treat, mate. So
there. So I mean, that was a massive story. It was a huge thing that happened across the last 2 years.
Oh, it was huge in Wales at the time, and since its implementation. So I had to double check this now if it's actually been of benefit. So it has done its intended job: less collisions, less accidents, less injuries, less deaths, and it was insurance
weirdly,
companies said it quite recently.
It's increased the groper market.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, right, these insurance companies, they said accidents are down 20% since came to force, but they said gropers are up at least 30. So, I mean, what is it the toll price to pay?
Did insurance change because of it?
Well, insurance companies just said that there's been, in Wales, 20% less claims for accidents, collisions, whatever, since the 20% thing come in to force. So it's doing its job. It's worked.
Why is that? Like, the Welsh government are garbage at comms. Like Mark, telling the important
stories.
Should
be pushing that.
That should be pushing that so hard. All the time you should be saying, oh, you know that thing we did? 20% less accidents and insurance.
But I can totally imagine some absolute fannies going, oh, we don't want to like stoke that fire, poke that there again and have all
the fucking courage of conviction.
Vocal minority against this.
And
so
that's the thing. I bet you most people will be like, I mean, if it's down to, I do like the idea it's done by like a village by village idea. Because there was that one mad thing where it went like 30, 20, 50, 30, 20, because they had this like blanket approach in quotations.
Yes, the blanket. I agree that maybe one of the few things Vaughan Gethin I thought did right was maybe doing this but the way the way that was framed was we're reverting it. We're just snapping back to before, you know, and it's like that wasn't the case at all. Yeah. But anyway, so I thought what I'd do, right, is cherry pick some comments from a Facebook group called 20 is not plenty.
Okay.
But man.
Because that was the other thing. Lots of signs like from villagers with it out, 20 is plenty. So like when you drive through like mid Wales and these tiny little villages, you're going from 70 and then it went down to 30 in some places. And loads of signs were saying 20 is plenty. Think of the kids. Think of the kids.
Yeah, think of the goddamn kids. But this one was not okay with 20, right? And but I got onto this, and Jesus Christ, what a fucking echo chamber that was. It's like, by the looks of things, they're just a load of reform supporters. By the looks of things, half of them had reform logos in their profile picture. They just whine and whine and whine about everything, like, and make really shit memes, like you said, just so awful humor. This one I saw, right, I'll try and describe it for you. I actually later I might try and find it again, and I'll put it in the Patreon,
because if you sign up to the free tier of Starmer. Patreon, you get our photos.
Oh yeah, do the free tier, you'll see like photos and stuff like that. We always put stuff on there. But it was Starmer with Angela Rayner and Rachel Reeves, and really poorly photoshopped together. And just at the top, it was a title saying, "A Right Charlie and His Angels." Don't know what that means. What does that mean? What does that mean? And the top comment on that was, "They ain't no bloody angels."
Oh, good.
About like 20 likes. Good one. Great one. Great one. Quite the wit. And then they also mostly seem to like that they all try and spell, they always put labor as liber, L-I-E.
Oh, liber.
Because they lie. Yeah. And they talk about Plaid Cymru, Plaid, L-I-E, and Plaid Dumry, D-U-M-R-U. Plaid Dumry.
It's just like, it's like I think it's because of Trump, but like, you know, like that. It's just these shit play on words. Like, I actually don't think Trump does play on words.
He
just,
I hate to put the blame on one man. No, but
well, he does things like a lion Hillary, didn't he, or like whatever he used to call her. But like, I do just
Sleepy Joe.
But I actually think they're quite funny. His ones are like, they're a bit more like even though they're shit, but like they're effective. The ones here that whenever they try and do like whenever someone's like Tony B. Liar instead of like Tony Blair, it's like it just comes, even if your point's really valid, it just comes across so fucking dweeby. It's like, oh my god, you loser. That's
a loser. Yeah. Like when I saw Plaid Dumry, like I can imagine so someone, bad. some guy so looking through that with the same agenda and going, and then someone looking through it and going, like, Plaid Dumry, oh my god, they've smashed them, they've done them in.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. But anyway, like I said, I'm not saying everyone on this bloody group is thick as shit.
No, I think what we're saying is, and people who don't agree with the 20 thingy, I think you're completely valid if you don't agree with the 20 miles per hour thing. And I don't think our point is having to go at, if you think, because I bet you loads of people don't like it, and that's completely fair. But it's just the shit people who comment on Facebook posts, that's who we have no.
It's we have pure got nothing better to do, you know. It was full of like conspiracy theories on there as well that just don't make any sense if you give a second thought. Like someone was on about milk having like, they were like, right, we're boycotting this Welsh milk thing because they've got this chemical in it. And it was like, you know, and someone in the comments was like, you know that kills cows, don't you? Why are they feeding it? And then to us by proxy. And I was like, proxy is a word you shouldn't know because you obviously haven't fucking thought for a second in your life. But anyway, it was just a load of fucking middle-aged losers that shit themselves the moment there's a slightest change in their world sort of thing. But anyway, it sapped my energy really quickly for this like comment hunt. But I found one little bit before I couldn't stomach anymore. A guy named Michael Lloyd said, "I was in Wales, all in caps, last week, and the 20 mile an hour is crap. Spoiled some of my holiday."
Some.
And the reply from Llew Owen, which I expect better from someone with a beautiful Welsh name like that, said, "Sorry it spoiled some of your holiday. It's ruining our lives. In a year or so, none of us will have a license. Just what Welsh Labour want." With like a million exclamation marks.
They just love to feel like they're being like oppressed. They love the idea that they're going to rise up, and it's always like, oh, you're all just fucking dweebs, man.
I don't know, mate. That fucking Charlie's Angels meme fucking sent a shiver down my spine.
I hope fucking Akia's called up Admiral Insurance. He's been written off. He's been absolutely done.
He's calling in sick to next week's Prime Minister's questions. Can't face him after that. But yeah, so...
Can I hit us with an uplifting
I couldn't bother after that.
So, my please, go. Wales for the... it's happened a couple of times. Well, actually, I think it's like for the last like good near on decade. Wales has been named the second best country in the world for recycling, and it's within touching distance of top spot.
Very true.
So, we're always up there. We're always punching well above, and
Yeah, a couple of years ago we were third, I think, and now we've broke into number two.
And we were, Germany was considered the best, but now it's Austria, and we're just behind them in the global rankings, with both countries managing to recycle 59% of our waste. Welsh government actually have their stats in a bit higher, but they're going on like this, the independent one, who say that we're both doing nearly 60% of our waste is being recycled. Northern Ireland is 9th, and then England comes in 11th and Scotland 15th amongst the 48 countries who are in this comparison. And it's just like I know there's like, there's one period like, oh, there's seven different bins you have in Wales. It's like, you don't, but you have to do something. So yes, even if there was seven bins, you can't just like keep fucking throwing shit away. And I know we're a small nation, so we might not have the biggest impact, but if like, it's a really important thing to give a shit about. And I'm really proud
it's not all that bad. Yeah. Like I'm proud of it. And like when I moved to this house here, right, a couple of years ago, I think I got five bins, right? So it's like plastic and cans is, cardboard paper, there's bottles, or glass rather, it's just bottles in my experience most of the time, general waste and food, right? Yeah. But everyone does food, general and recycling anyway. Yeah. And it's really, it really extra. Isn't that hard. It really is not that hard.
No, and also it's great, man. It's like, I don't know, it's, although then you see like China dropping like 50 tons of like oil. Just like, you know, you sometimes think you're throwing like a deck off the Titanic, but I'm really proud of us.
I'm cleaning out my yogurt pot to put it in my plastic. And America's just, I see on the news that it's like 250 trillion tons of crude oil has just gone into the Atlantic. Yeah, it's like, yeah,
I'm licking the yogurt off a lid. Oh, fuck's sake. So that was just a quickie. So I think we're quite overrun on this anyway. So a little quick one, can't be too hard. So I'm ping-ponging back to you now.
Yeah, no worries. No worries. So my next one is a very recent one, as in like end of November recent. And I don't know if you heard of this or our listeners, but basically an FBI fugitive was arrested in a little North Walian village in Mainan. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's ridiculous, yeah. So an excerpt from The Guardian states, Daniel Andreas San Diego, 46, was arrested on Monday by officers from Britain's National Crime Agency, supported by North Wales Police, describing him as an animal rights extremist. The FBI said he is alleged to have been involved in the bombing of two office buildings in San Francisco, California, in 2003. San Diego kept very much to himself, his neighbours said, and they knew very little about him. But they did not suspect for a minute that the reason he stayed close to his remote rural home was because he was allegedly hiding out from the FBI. So when I read this, I was like, extreme animal rights guy, like extreme animal rights extremist. I was like, what can he have done? And then it was like, oh, bombings. Yeah. And two,
well, that was quite,
was like,
you know, like, oh, you know, wow. Like PETA or PETA, they're quite like extreme. There was a period where in America they were these kind of like copycats who did similar things to like what they'd seen across the world in terms of like IRA bombings and stuff like that. They're like, all right, we're going to do it. But it does seem a bit mad when it's about animal welfare, which obviously is important, but like blowing up someone at a bank.
Of course,
it seems a bit
I think animal rights extremists, I think like gluing yourself in front of like doors to a like biochemical lab or something, or blowing a place out, seems a bit extreme.
Yeah.
So Mainan is the village. And it's a predominantly Welsh-speaking village. So apparently they all knew an American guy had moved in over a year ago. But authorities believe that he'd been living in Wales for several years. Concerning Daniel San Diego, one of his neighbours said, and I just thought this was a great quote just out of the blue, went, "I've never seen him at all. He never goes out. Car's always on the drive. Never moves." That's it. That's it. Just like going, car never moves.
Sounds
off
like a
the drive. Yeah, that's all you got to say about him. It does, doesn't it? Never seen him at all. Never goes out. Never moves. But the locals, they were only aware of who their Yankee neighbor really was after seeing him on the news recently, after the arrest and everything. A local named David Hughes, who's also the owner of the Mainan Abbey Hotel, he said that his wife saw him walking in the woods 4 weeks ago. That's literally all he had to say on the whole thing. Like, imagine going, like, what did you think of this guy? He's, you know, almost a terrorist. Wife saw him walking in the woods 4 weeks ago. So, never moves his car off the drive. Yeah. That's the running theme. Yeah, but yeah, cutting insight from Dave. But you never know. some sleepy little village parish in Wales could be housing a bloody terrorist from the FBI's most wanted list. You just never know.
Similarly, did you see that story about that Welsh Jesus? There's a comedian called Gareth Hunt who performs as a Welsh Jesus, and he's like apparently really good. And he was coming back, and he does it all around the country, does it all around England and stuff. But he was due to perform in Merthyr at the Hail Gedig Social Club. But because the social club's owned by like a church, they like apparently they were like, no, you can't do it because you're making fun of Jesus. He said, oh, what if I do? And he brought like a bunch of other comedians there, and it's going to be a big night. And then they were like, apparently he was told that no, they don't want you to do it at all. So he was like really pissed off. He was like, that's so unfair on the other people. They haven't even seen my show. They don't know what I'm doing about it. He invited them to come watch it. And they were like, no, we're just not having the Jesus act on. And it's so funny seeing it because in all the like the press around it, he's dressed as Jesus. So it just looks like Jesus being really shunned.
Just looking dejected.
And then the church came out and were like, no, we never said that. We it's our place. We're the landlords, but we don't care what goes on. You know, it's nothing to do with us. We don't have any veto. So then they said, and actually...
The honest church. The church were like... Yeah, let's get into that.
Well, the church were like, and actually we demand an apology from the organisers because we've never said we get this. So then the organisers were like... So when the people came back to the organisers saying, hang on, the church said they had nothing to do with this, they just came back and said, oh, we've got nothing to say at the moment. It's like, how can that be the way you get away with it?
another great PR team. We've got nothing to say.
They were like, oh, hang on. They said it wasn't you. Went, we don't really want to speak about for now.
I don't actually want to engage with you right now. So maybe just drop it. Yeah?
There's a saying called like collective consciousness. Like when lots of people like think things at the same time or we're all connected, like we're all share this like kind of same... Like it's something you can't quite explain, but like for some reason you've thought about a word and then you see that word on the news that day, you know, it's like, oh, that's weird. Like I've said that word, I haven't said an awful lot. And for me, the word diaspora. And it means like when you go to another, like when a group of people go from where they're originally from. So like, a bunch of, say, when the Romans left Rome to come here, that was like a diaspora of Romans. And it's like, it's a term to describe when you leave an area, like when a group of people leave. And there's this big thing. Do you know, so there's about 3 million people who live in Wales. There's about 3 million to 4 million people who are Welsh, who have left Wales. So there's just as many people who are here as who have left, which is like, I think that's quite interesting anyway.
We've actually got double the amount of Welsh people, but just half of them aren't actually in Wales.
And there's a huge amount of Welsh entrepreneurs who've left Wales, and they call it like a diaspora of entrepreneurship or a diaspora of brain. And the word you'll hear a lot is brain drain. Like we don't have a huge amount of things. So there's this big study at the moment that's talking about there's like 500 Welsh-led businesses who represent 25% of diaspora entrepreneurs who are really ready to invest in Wales, but they just weren't told, or there hasn't been a big effort to say, like, oh, you're from Wales originally. Do you want to invest your like what? So, for example, there's loads of Silicon Valley people who have a Welsh, like millionaires or even billionaires who are in tech who. Haven't thought about
connection,
who are Welsh, but just haven't been here for ages, or like they're second generation Welsh, but hadn't been approached to invest in Wales. And they had this big study by a Tokyo based academic who has a thing called Global Welsh, who are looking to like kind of bring back this this brain drain, stopping this brain drain, and getting people who are now like multimillionaires in different
keeping
countries
people,
and like reinvesting. So this loads of them were like, oh yeah, absolutely, I love being Welsh, I'm proud of being Welsh, I'd love to be able to help the Welsh economy. And it just feels like such an obvious thing we should have been doing. And like I said, 500 of these Welsh-led businesses abroad are now more than happy to invest in Wales in the next 12 months. It's not even like in the next 5 years, they're happy to do it like straight away.
Yeah, as much as like, you know, I I love my country and everything that you can't help sometimes, but like you look at some stuff and go, fucking hell, that's mismanaged.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like,
why are you not doing that? Like, it's such a obvious idea.
So this is what the lady who's running this, Dr. Birchley, she said, like, data suggests that Wales has an extraordinary opportunity to position itself as a model for how small nations can leverage their global diaspora for economic development. With an estimated 3 to 4 million Welsh people living outside of Wales, the same as the Wales' home population, the potential economic impact is significant. What makes this opportunity unique is how it combines economic potential with genuine cultural passion and its desire to contribute back to the future improved prosperity of Wales. Like, Welsh people are genuinely so proud of being Welsh, and like, it's such a thing that cuts through like massively. So when Welsh people go abroad, they never lose their Welshness, and like but when they previously, when Welsh talent goes abroad, it's lost forever. And now this whole new initiative is like, right, for 2025, let's fucking bring that back. Let's make it encouraging for people to do it. Out of the people, all the people they reached out to, 92% of the respondents expresses massive, strong pride in their Welsh identity, while almost 10 maintain the Welsh language at home despite living abroad. So like, it's just weird that we haven't kind of touched on this before, and I think that's really exciting that we're going to be like, we could lean into like country, those who like who are abroad, who are well established, who have a lot more money than we do.
Like you said, you know, if you imagine all these like huge entrepreneurs, like they kept the industry in Wales, that creates jobs, that creates fosters the same kind of development and things like that in that industry. More entrepreneurs as well, because we've got a dedicated industry. You don't feel the need to leave Wales anymore because you've got it in-house type thing. That's fucking class.
So that's just
I didn't know that stat about, I'm going to be touting that stat about,
it's mad, isn't it?
We've got double our population, but half of it's out of the country.
3 million here, 3 million abroad. I found that really astonishing as well.
Explains why we're so big time.
Makes a lot more sense why we have so many listeners who aren't just Welsh. Did you see that thing I put on Insta the day from the account? I asked people where they're from, and the lineup of people was fucking mad. It was like Finland, Swedish, New Zealand.
Oh, yeah. I liked every single post, mate, in an attempt to boost us. Don't
they were sick. I was so impressed with how many. I knew, obviously, I loved all the Welsh words. Don't get me wrong. I know where our bread is buttered, but it was really cool to see like genuinely how many people listen to us from different countries.
Oh, 100%, man. Like, I know we've had that heat map for a while now, you know, and it does show.
But it's nice to actually hear all from over the them, shop. From here, from here.
Oh, yeah, when it's like real people, you know? And actually have some interaction as well. Yeah, it's class.
Right, so that's my. Back to you.
That was a good one, man. Cheers. I don't think I topped that, but I've. Before I start my. I've got like three very, very quickie ones. But before I start that, Amy has texted me, my wife's texted me saying, remember to mention. The time on Dane's Court Hub where someone splashed someone when they were driving past.
Oh yeah.
And they put, and then the person who got splashed posted it, and they got so ridiculed they took the post down, because I was like, oh, I wish we have a screenshot of it somewhere. Basically they got splashed and someone put something up like, to the guy in the red Vauxhall who splashed me.
Oh,
earlier,
as in like they drove past a puddle and splashed him. I thought
like a puddle.
Cup of water or something.
Oh no, that would have been fucking horrendous. But fucking horrendous. Yeah, maybe just a bit inconvenient.
Group it.
I've had a couple of drinks. Oh, fucking group it. But so this guy, he said something along the lines of, I'm paraphrasing now, but he said, like, to ever splash me on Dane's Court Way, try it again, you will never splash anyone again. As if like a threat of death? Like, I will render you incapable of driving a vehicle. Sorry, I had to include that anyway. Right. It was a little inclusion for my wife. But the next one, and these are sort of like just bizarre stories that have happened this year, right? So one, and I never heard of this. Tell me if you have. You know, I don't know how to say this company's name. It's the vodka. It's AU. Gold.
Is it the Swansea, the guy who got kicked by when he was a... So do you know the story about him, the lad who started it?
I don't know about the guy who got kicked or anything like that. I found this story where it was like on March 11th this year, people were forming a queue outside the company's headquarters in Cumdy Industrial Estate in Swansea.
Is it like the fake queue?
And... It was like, it was based off, right, I think it was Jake Paul, one of those knobhead Paul guys. They had an AU vodka tattoo on their arm, right?
Yeah.
And it went mad on social media, and then like when he was boxing the next week or something, it was gone, and it was a fake tattoo. Then they found out, like a journalist found out that AU, they paid him $25,000 to have that fake tattoo on, just for like the marketing value. Yeah. And there was loads of people online saying like, oh, I'd have done it for fucking free. I'd have got a real tattoo, blah, 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 blah. So they said, come on then, Wales, put your money where your mouth is. And they said, if you come to our headquarters, Cymru Industrial Estate, Swansea, first come, first serve basis, between 12 p.m. and 4 p.m, we'll give you between 75 and 250 quid, depending on the size of that tattoo, if you get our logo. I think it was like, it's like a bottle with the logo on, tattooed on you somewhere. Yeah. And so hundreds of people queued up, and like overnight and stuff like that. And then like loads of people got the AU vodka bottle tattoo thing. And it was like arm, or I think it had to be on their arm or leg, but it was like a weird marketing thing. But people actually got paid the 250 quid.
Well, do you know that guy? The guy who started it, Charlie Morgan. He used to be a Swansea City ball boy. So if you don't know what that is, you go out with the squad. You wait around the cut. Like, if the ball goes out of touch at football, you throw it back in. And, you know, it's like a thing young kids do who want to be a part of the club.
And who are you talking to, mate? I know my fucking
sports. Well, when Swansea famously played Man City, Eden Hazard wanted the ball back from him. He wanted to grab the ball back quickly because you want to take the quick throw in so you can carry on with the game. But he hid the ball under his stomach and wouldn't give the ball to him. So Eden Hazard started kicking him, started booing him. And he was he was relatively old. He's 17 years up. Yeah, it was a League Cup semi-final against Chelsea, not Man City, sorry. Got that wrong, got a bit flustered. When Hazard was playing for Chelsea, he tried to waste time. So the ball boy stuck it under his top, and he's shielding the ball from Hazard. So Hazard started trying to kick him, and then he was given a red card for kicking the teenager. But so Charlie went on to set up his own vodka brand in 2015, and now it's worth about £55 million.
Oh, it's his vodka brand.
Yeah, so he set it up, and then Hazard went to go meet him 11 years after the incident, and they got loads of photos together of them drinking the vodka and having a catch up.
I was going to say, and then he kicked the shit out of Hazard.
And then Hazard put a status up saying, nice thing about retirement is catching up with old friends. You've come a long way in 11 years, my friend. It's so funny. But it's mad.
But that AU vodka, that is huge time.
He is a marketing genius, man.
In my little corner shop around here, it's like... that's 40 quid or something
Floyd Mayweather, Jake Paul, Ronaldinho, they've all done that stuff. I think Charlie's dad might be he might be quite famous. I think he's one of the directors at Swansea City.
Oh, has he got a bit of pull?
I don't discredit what Charlie's done. All the marketing is so current.
Sounds like you want to discredit him. I want to discredit him.
Yeah. But I do think, nepotism's clearly a thing, but nepotism, you have kids who got rich and don't do fuck all, and he's a proper, he just looks like a real Jack the Lad. I got time for that.
That idea of with giving Jake Paul a fake tattoo for an event or whatever, that's fucking gold. Yeah. That's really good. That's so fucking smart. But yeah, so that was one of the weird things that I hadn't even heard of this year. The next one I've got is about sex toy donations to a Barnardo's in Gorsenon. Mm. Have you heard about this one?
No.
So Barnardo's in Gorsenon, they had to remind people to think twice about what they were donating after receiving a stash of adult toys in a donation drop. The shop's volunteers reminded people Barnardo's is a children's charity with a range of ages of volunteers, adding, quote, we therefore ask that you refrain from donating your used and unused marital aids. Ugh. We would like to remind you that the branch has CCTV so that these items can be traced back to their owners. I'm not being funny. If you're dropping something, fair play, you're dropping something to a charity shop, right? Would you go, oh yeah, check my old dillies in there.
Dilly.
My used dillies. What are we going to do? Is someone going to be browsing Barnardo's and go, oh, that looks like a great dilly. I'll chuck it on a dishwasher when I go home and I'll have a go on that. Ridiculous.
I need to go for a piss. I'm fucking dying.
Insane.
Okay, go for a wee.
Yeah, go for it, mate.
So mine is the banishment of Tory MPs. So not to be confused with assembly members or members of the Welsh Senedd. So in Wales, you have MSs, members of the Senedd, and in the UK, you have members of Parliament. So there are no longer, after the last British election, there are no longer any Tories left sitting in Wales, which if you're like the rest of Wales, we're really happy about that because they don't always align with our politics.
Yeah, buzzing about it. Yeah.
But to point out, I've become like...
Well, I don't know, mate. If you go on the 20 is plenty exclamation yeah. mark group, I'm sure yeah. they disagree.
Well, I don't want to dissuade Tory listeners because I do think sometimes I get in a bubble of only thinking people who listen follow how I believe in politics. And that's not true. We have enough, we got a lot of listeners and I'm sure not all of them are... voting the same way. And I just want to point out a few things. I'm not a Labour supporter, and I've never voted Labour. I also have massively become disillusioned with politics. Since Labour took over, like I said, I'm not a Labour supporter, but I generally thought they were the better. I thought they were probably a kinder government. And they are just literally the yeah. same. They're just I had some bias and leeway, but when they first started, I'd be like, oh, do you know what? They're taking over this fucking garbage tip that the UK has become, what the Tories have created after 14 years of no investment, all this stuff, a cruelty yeah. policy, policies of cruelty, a breakdown in just civil discussion. And I always I was going to give them a little bit more leeway, but they are the exact same, man. There's fucking carbon copy of what the Tories were. They're yes, they've got rid of some of the more cruel stuff, but they still don't give a shit about Palestinians. They still have done nothing about HS2. They used to the Labour in Wales used to blame Westminster and the Tories for everything. And now modern day Labour in Wales don't say fuck all about it, even though it's the NHS waiting list is really bad.
That thing of it was for years and years and years, because it's been Labour for so long in Wales, they were always they used to fucking trolley out the excuse every time. Why can't we do this? Why can't we do that? We haven't got the money from Westminster. We haven't got the money from Westminster because it's Tories, Tories, Tories. They'll never give us the money. And then now it's a Labour government in power in Westminster. It's right, where's the money then? I know they've just given us a big chunk of money. The thing is, it looks like a big chunk of money. When I find that all the time with media, if people throw around the word billions and billions and billions all the time, you get desensitized yeah. to how much that actually is. But it's there was a, what was the thing about the coal tip or the landslide mm. thing recently? What happened to yeah. Matt Pavan and everything? Yeah. They were like, oh, it's probably going to cost a lot of money,
to close
a fuck
all
load of money.
The coal tips in Wales, because that could happen at any point when a heavy rain comes.
Literally, another Aberfan could happen, and especially with the storm that just happened mm. recently. And it was I can't remember the exact figure. Correct me if you know that this is well off base, mm. but it was 60 million we need to sort that out, ASAP. And they went, no problem. Here's 1.5 million.
Yeah.
And it's that's nothing. Yeah. That's such a drop in the yeah. ocean to get it sorted. And it's but you're all, you're meant to be all on the same
million.
Team now. Do you know what I mean? 600 yeah. million even. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah.
And they
said
they'd
so
give
frustrating.
25 million. So Chancellor Rachel Reeves announced she'd give 25 million.
my figure's
yeah.
well
but
off
yeah,
base.
I mean, what
don't
you're
put
saying
me
is
in
right.
government.
Is,
but
yeah.
you know what I mean? Equivalent, yeah. 6 million to 1.5, 60 million yeah. to 1.5 million,
no.
600
yeah.
million.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty, fair. Pretty much bang on in terms of if you're doing it pound for pound. Oh, a ratio.
I've nailed it accidentally.
But that's what I mean. Yeah. So I'm trying to go back to the main point of the story was the Tories have been completely wiped out. And the recent polls are showing that Plaid Cymru are ahead of every other party in Wales at the moment because people are like me, are disillusioned with what Labour are. People don't like the Tories. Lib Dems have never done very well here, only in studenty towns like Aberystwyth. And then Greens. And weirdly, Reform are doing just as well as, not weirdly, it's kind of expected. It's Plaid Cymru ahead of the polls. Then second is Labour, joint with Reform, then the Tories. So it's
it's worrying about Reform.
I actually think that's good.
I love
it splits the Tory vote.
Up, but that's good, yeah. But I just hate that they've gotten so much, because you just know they're just Yeah, well, I won't go into it, but you know what I mean.
It's difficult, isn't it? Because like, politics is important to us, but then you can also be a bit like, I don't know, it can push people away if you don't, you know, if you don't all agree. And I've been trying to listen to other podcasts that aren't just kind of my thing to hear what other people say. And I've been listening to like the Shane Gillis podcast, and he's actually like some of his old stuff. I fundamentally disagree with a lot of what they say, and they can be very right wing, but they also, they're funny and they're stupid and they don't take it too seriously. So I know they're just taking the piss out of everyone. And I think you sometimes like, you'll be like, oh, you can't make fun of that. You're not from here. Or you can't make fun of this because you're right wing. Like if you just go through the thing of being like, what's right? I'm not saying this very well, but not everything has to be so serious, and you can have disagreements. And but
I know you mean. Sometimes you can just have a laugh. Yeah, can't you? You can just be funny. You can just make fun of stuff. It's fine. Yeah. It doesn't have to be like. Yeah, I know what you mean. So territorial. Stuck up all the time.
But I just fundamentally, I think it was great that they got completely wiped out, because my point in this was, the English Tories have absolute disregard for Wales, and it's not even a hatred, it's not like a, it's just pure contempt.
No,
and like it's complete disregard. Like imagine, right, in Scotland, if the Secretary of Scotland for the British government wasn't a Scottish person, the Scots would go fucking mental. If HS2 happened in Scotland, they'd go absolutely fucking mental. Will Hayward wrote this really good piece to The Guardian, who's Britain, I'd say probably Wales, his best journalist. He said this thing saying, like, it's just the fact that Wales accepts these things. Like, it's not the fact that what has happened to us is humiliating. It's that Welsh would accept it. For example, like, for ages, well, there's been loads of examples when the Secretary of Wales, so that's the person who's meant to be the link between the Welsh government and the British government, and the one who's meant to oversee Welsh policies, has been an English person more than one time. And it's just, imagine, it's like when back in the old days when they'd have like the person of India from the British colony, like it'd be like the, it would be, it's just a demeaning role, and they don't understand the country. Well, it's like, imagine it's, that you said,
it's a historic like consistency with that, and like we talk about things even way past that. Before that, like in medieval times, where a governor of a kingdom is given, and it's a Norman or it's an Anglo-Saxon. But imagine I said to
you
now, Jack,
I'd like you to be the mayor of Norwich. You have no ties to Norwich. You know nothing about the people who live there. You don't understand what their wants are. It's just like, it shows you don't even care about people of Norwich. Like, if I give you that, it shows I have such contempt for it. And the Scots would never put up with this, but Welsh people do put up with this all the time. And the fact that we voted all of them out of all their seats made me think, do you know what? There is a bit of a shift in saying we, like, they took
a bit of hope.
Yeah, there is a bit of hope that, like, they just have a bit of, like, I don't know, some, like we deserve better. Like, we, as a nation, we deserve better than what we're getting. And that's from the left and the right. And we are deserving. And I just want people in Wales to be like, no, we deserve better.
That's what
than
I think.
Anybody.
That's what frustrates me a lot about, like, people who are like, oh, reform's the way forward and stuff. I was like, oh, man, they don't give a flight. You think the Tories don't give a fuck about Wales? Like, they give even less. Yeah. And it's like, I want Wales that's better for everybody. And let's have a debate about what way to take Wales afterwards. That's fine. But, like, can we all just be on the same side that Wales needs to be better, you know, like come first.
It's like we have the resources, we have so much that we could, but we're held back. But yeah, anyway, I don't want to go down to our mad roots where we sometimes
we're gonna get onto one of those episodes that gets like put in the vault. Yeah.
Also, I will just say I'm so fucking happy that human gammon of Andrew
Artie Davis,
when we recorded this, mate, he stood down today. So
when you said earlier, you came for a drink here, and I was like, fucking too right. I'm so glad I'm not going to see his fucking name.
What I
around,
hate about
I'm from
him
Vale of the Morgan.
Is he was a scaremongering populist who'd say horrific things on Twitter to try and replicate Boris Johnson, or try and replicate a Nigel Farage. He wasn't even authentic. Like, at least those people are like, as much as I detest them, that's their thing. He was just stealing their angle. I thought, you fucking cunts. I'm so glad that he's gone.
Yeah, I think, get me wrong, I consider them all like fucking grifters, but he was someone who wasn't a grifter, and then saw that grifting could get you somewhere, and went, I'll try and copy the grift. Yeah. And it's like, it's fucking pathetic. Anyway, any RT Davis fans? Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Sling your
suck your ass, you cunt.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll leave this on a good note. It's my last story, and it's very, very short, literally not a line and a half. Did you know, this year, in Griffith Town, Pontypool, a little boy named Archie Davis.
Archie Davis?
Found the... Archie Davis, sorry. Archie, yeah, I'm circling back. It all makes sense. No, Archie Davis. He found the longest chip in the world, 9 inches. And it beat the current presumed record by 0.4 inches.
Wow, go on, Archie, lad. Guinness World
Records. Longest chips in Wales. Go on, Archie Davis. Unfortunately, it sounds a lot like Artie Davis. Like, he stepped down and then went, oh my God, my luck's turned around.
I am, like I said, I've been on this bit of a diet recently, a bit of a health kick. And a part of it is like very little fat. So I'm having a very low fat diet. But that means I have potatoes into chips. I like parboil them, dry them off, get all the starch off them, and then use one Carl spray. They do them in the air fryer. They turn out fucking amazing. But I'm having chips with every single meal. And you should see, I'm not joking, beautiful. For breakfast, I had chips and beans the other day. And I'm
that actually sounds banging.
Lush. And it's like really low cal, surprisingly low cal, almost low fat. But I get bags of spuds delivered. I get so many bags of spuds delivered to the house at the moment. And I think that's a very Welsh thing, being obsessed with chips. Like, I fucking adore chips. Yeah,
anything with chips is something, isn't it, to have as a meal to behold. Oh, I need to say something as well before we go. Have I told you I'm going to be an uncle, as in like an uncle.
Emma,
no, it'd be an uncle.
Yeah, you would be. You'll be an uncle.
Yeah. Yeah, my wife. Yeah, your wife's my wife's sister.
Yeah, you'll be an uncle.
That's an uncle. It's not like an uncle in law, is it? I don't know the old family tree names, I guess. No, it'd be uncle, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
It would just be
uncle. I don't know why you're stressing.
Anyway,
it's just uncle.
I could be an uncle. I'm treating it as if like I'll say like, oh, I'm your uncle to this little baby, and it'll go, actually it's uncle-in-law.
No, it's uncle.
We have to go out to Dubai in the middle of June, July or something like that for the birth, and I've heard it's a little bit hot, a little bit toasty out there at that time, so I'm looking forward to sweating my absolute bollocks off. And also yeah, I've never been there before. Is it swanky? Am I have to dress up? I can't just do my usual.
This story come from? Is this just an add-on at the end?
Yes, I just wanted to do it before we left it because I sensed we were going to like clobber it off or cut it off.
This is such a quick 180 pivot.
I know, sorry. I just had to get it in.
I don't understand why you had to get it in on the pod. I can tell you about this offline if you want. Or is it something specific you want to chat about? Or does Amy want you to mention it on the pod?
Oh, you guessed it. You fucking knocked it on the head, didn't you? And I've forgotten to do it all parts. So I was like, shit.
Well, congratulations to Amy's sister.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Well, that's great, man.
My natural announcement. Yeah.
I'm a seasoned uncle, and I got to say, it's such a fun role to play. I've got 4 nephews and nieces and a fuckload of cousins and stuff, and it's so much fun. You just get
how to be around children, because at the moment I'm quite awkward.
I would say, mate, it's class. It's really good. My niece, I'm taking her to watch the Wales women's, who tonight just qualified for the first major tournament, fucking buzzing about. And I get taken her to... It's fun. I find the boys are really fun. You just play fight with. Girls are really sweet, and you can, like... Just like if you got a dog, they love you because they love dogs and like animals and nice things. It's great, man. It's so much fun. And the minute they start crying, just chuck them back to the parents and fuck right off.
Chuck them back to the parents.
Yeah. Emma's about to be an auntie, like a blood related auntie for the first time as well. In a couple of months, so I'll have another one added to my litter.
Was that a dig at me? Was it?
Well, she's like
blood related.
No, like you're saying, yours will be. So Emma already has.
I know mine's technically through marriage.
Yeah, so yeah. Emma's already. Got 4 nephews and nieces with me, but they're not blood related. So when it is the first blood one, like when your brother has one, you'll probably feel a bit more like, oh, wow, I know the term uncle instead of uncle-in-law. But
you. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be when they grow up, I'll be like, yeah, but you're not my real nephew. you're a fucking, you're half and half, you're rice and chips. Yeah. New.
Well, you really... the segue there was so breakneck speed, it's completely thrown me.
don't I'll tell you later, don't worry.
Keep all this in, guys. Sorry, this is a rambly one. We haven't caught up in a while. We always catch up, but it was just a laugh and we got a bit drunk. I'm drunk.
Yeah, it's been ages. It's been absolutely ages. We'll see each other tomorrow,
so we should, because I'm doing this Heineken stuff, it makes me feel really drunk.
I'm on my third apple and cinnamon and rum. And you know what? The cinnamon just does not dissolve. But I mean, it's nice. It's still nice.
Right, let's say Nosta, and then we'll do the picture in a second. Dirk and Grandad.
No, so thank you. Dioch. Grand o bregeth mewn.